Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Moving on with our discussion of parental strategies that may create problems for kids as they grow up to be companion animal owners, the next mistake we want to avoid is equating intelligence, giftedness, and influence with maturity. Just because a person has a lot of initials after his or her name, or is an incredible artist, musician, doesn't mean that that person is mature. Any more than having any of those credentials guarantee that we know everything there is to know about dogs, cats, horses, or any other animal we decide to add to our households. But if we can convince ourselves that this makes us skilled when it comes to fulfilling the physical, mental, and emotional needs of the animals in our lives, then we're done. We don't have to learn anything else. At the other end of the spectrum, just because an animal has umpteen ribbons in obedience or other athletic sports, does well in the ring, or wins lots of races, that does not guarantee that animal's behavior. If you don't believe me, just go to some of these shows and watch these animals. There are some shows where you wouldn't want to get too close to the crates or cages or stalls, because while those animals may have these incredible talents in a particular area, they're not particularly well-mannered and well-behaved. If our dogs pass a certain assessment or win a ribbon in a certain area, we will assume that that makes that dog well-trained, because it's easier. Unfortunately, what goes along with this is that when we take that approach and the dog misbehaves, we immediately assume that the cause of this is something other than the dog and the way we've been interacting with the dog. We assume, even though the child said she didn't do anything, that she must have poked the dog with a stick. Or, on the other side of it, if something proves to us that we don't automatically know everything there is to know about dogs, cats, birds, horses, you name it, and as a result, that animal develops problems, well, then there must be something wrong with the animal. It couldn't possibly be us, because, after all, we have been told how intelligent or gifted we are. Or we have the influence in other areas to show what a great leader we are. And so we get caught up in this. We buy into this idea that if our animals display these qualities, then they must be mature. They must be capable of handling all that life dishes out. And the reality is they're not. If we're always thinking how smart they are and telling them how smart they are and using their intelligence as an indicator of their ability to cope, we're going to make mistakes. The fact that the dog can do 20 different tricks flawlessly in the living room in no way is a predictor of how that dog is going to respond when the doorbell rings, or when a man with a hat or a woman with an umbrella walks in the front door. It has nothing to do with it whatsoever. And the fact that the dog can get us to jump when the dog says jump, or can just give us the most subtle look and we'll drop whatever we're doing and fulfill that dog's needs, that isn't a good predictor of good behavior either. In fact, it might mean exactly the opposite. So pay attention. Pay attention to what value you place on intelligence, giftedness, and influence in yourself, and also in your animal's responses. Do you automatically think this guarantees your ability to cope, your physical, mental, and emotional stability across the board? And do you think those same qualities in your animals confer those same advantages on them? In some cases, if the animal has the temperament and the innate stability to handle any burdens this kind of faulty thinking imposes on them, they will be fine and we can hang on to those beliefs. But it's a gamble. And whether you're willing to gamble on yourself and your animal like that depends on where you are. If you're out in the middle of nowhere where the consequences of a misjudgment will be borne strictly by you and your animal, that's one thing. But if you live in a more complex environment with other people and other animals and a lot more stimulation where others may have to bear the cost of this misconception, then it might be time to rethink it. As a former employer of mine used to say, describing some people, they talk smart, but they think dumb. In other words, they know how to say the right thing, but they don't have the maturity to back it up. And so it is with some animals too.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.